The United States administration has announced plans to impose further levies on Chinese products. The office of the U.S. Trade Representative said 25% of tariffs would be in place on $16 billion more in Chinese goods starting August 23rd. There are 279 new goods to be targeted, which, according to Washington, promote the theft of American technology. U.S. already has imposed tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese products. Since July 6, the U.S. president has threatened to slap tariffs on almost all Chinese exports to the U.S. Beijing has responded by taking similar measures. To discuss that more, we're joined by the host of the Voice of the Revolution Radio, Jacob Musick. Thank you very much, sir, for joining us. Now, we've seen time and again Mr. Trump defending his unilateralism and protectionist policies regarding trade, saying that he is trying to protect American technology. How is this going to help stop the theft of what, of course, Donald Trump calls theft of U.S. technology?
Well, you know, this was one of the biggest foundational promises that Mr. Trump made in his campaign, that as a part of making America great again or making American industry strong. You know, of course, like you mentioned, he is instituting this protectionism in the, what I think, the false belief that it will force China to curb piracy of American, you know, intellectual property and American brands, American movies, American popular music. He thinks, or is just leading people to believe, like an immigration, that he can totally control the situation. They wanted a strong man when they elected Donald Trump, and he has been trying to fulfill this character type of the authoritarian figure who will force, you know, America to be number one in the world again, will enforce America's rules, will enforce American will in the world. And these tariffs and the tit for tat between the People's Republic of China and other countries and the United States has been part of fulfilling this promise. Unlike past presidents who necessarily will say more radical things and not do them, he actually has done them. Now, the question is, will this help the average American worker? So far, it has not necessarily. We've seen prices increase, different companies are complaining, and it hasn't had the protectionary influence over American industry that initially he said it was going to, because I think he's inadequately explained the topic and probably himself doesn't even understand. But he knows that when he says this type of thing, that people will like it and will support it. So it's a very confusing, complicated topic. But in the end, can you force Chinese small pirates, small distributors, small producers from, say, for example, making Mickey Mouse clothing? You can't.
Well, exactly. That's an interesting point you mentioned. Plus, actually, that was my second question, Mr. Musick. We've seen farmers, U.S. farmers, actually being the main target of this whole trade war. And even Donald Trump himself had to somehow try to compensate that for them.
Exactly.
How do you think this is going to continue? And is it really the U.S. economy that is going to benefit from this? Or is it just something that a populist move, basically, that Donald Trump is making?
You know, in terms of protectionism, we've been so oriented towards complete free trade for more than a generation now. So just a few months or a few weeks of turning to a protectionist policy, at first there's going to be a lot of hardship and a lot of, we're probably going to see some negative effects first, because we have to understand, for more than my entire life and most of the life of my parents, this policy of completely unfettered free trade for the corporations in whatever country where they're located has been the policy. So when a society is making a complete economic change in their ideals, there's going to be hardship. It's going to hurt at first. If they can stick with it, there will be positive consequences for American industry. But if, say, the next president abandons it, or Donald Trump is not elected for a second term and then it's abandoned, if they don't follow through with it, if they reverse course, if they lose their will, then it's just going to look like a failed experiment, and the possibilities will not be able to be realized because of lack of will and, you know, letting go of this new direction.
So basically, Donald Trump has set foot in a path in which there is no coming back, right?
I think they can there is a lot of pressure to come back. I actually really disagree with that. I think if you talk to most of the corporate leaders of the United States, they don't like this. They want the free flow of capital. Yes, they like protection of their intellectual property, but what's more important is that they can trade with no tariffs. I think it's very easy to dismantle regulatory tariffs, as we saw in the mid-20th century. They were gone within just a couple of years, and then the free trade movement, I guess if you could call it, or the ideal took hold. We can move back and forth. It's been done in American history. The United States was very protectionist in the early 1900s, and now, 100 years later, the ideal was very different. Now we're headed back in the other direction. But it takes time to really change an economic orientation of a country.
And a quick note to Mr. Mazakent, what do you think, how is this going to affect the world economy?
It depends. China is the workshop of the world. It really is where most everything is produced. It is such a valuable contributor to the world economy, as well as being cutting edge in a number of new industries, including green energy. Yes, in China, American music and television and popular brand imagery is pirated, but that's also true of, in India, of Bollywood products and European celebrities too. Everything is kind of pirated in China. To think that anybody could control that, I think that's a little bit of a misunderstanding. But as far as the world economy, like I said, earlier, we've had this consensus and, imposed really by Washington and the WTO, which is based in Washington, of a free market orientation. So the whole world has had to adapt to that. So now if we're going a different direction, everybody will have to change their economic policies who does business with the United States. Some of those countries that don't do business with the United States, like say North Korea, it's not going to affect them at all. However, for Europe, China, Latin America, our close allies such as Colombia, this will really change things. It will require these countries to adapt their policies, and they might become more protectionist as well, like China has. So, but in the end, if we can stick with one policy long enough, that will become the new norm, and it will seem just as natural as free trade did 10 years ago.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jacob Muzik.
Thank you.
Host of the Voice of the Revolution Radio, giving us his take of the new economic policies of Donald Trump. Moving on.